This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
When the critics first started attacking us, they said it could never be done. It wasn't even possible. Then as we started making it happen, they started going after other things, like you can't drive on glass, it has no traction. We actually put traction on it, had it traction tested to be the same as asphalt and concrete. So they dropped that one, then it was something else. And now that we actually have installations, their last argument is price. And with mass production, that comes down drastically.
What if the roads we drove on, instead of being made of carbon-intensive petroleum sludge, were actually solar panels? And what if, whenever electric vehicles drove on these solar roads, they were automatically recharged? Sounds like a fiction. Wishful thinking. A dream. Well, here at Sea Change Radio, we like to celebrate the dreamers. And in 2014, we profiled Solar Roadways, a hot new startup at the time, based on the wild idea of paving roads with solar panels. There were critics who poo-pooed the idea, but there were also a lot of us who fell in love with it. This week on Sea Change Radio, we give our listeners an update on the progress being made to bring this innovative technology to the streets, in Europe and via U.S. government contracts. We talk to the co-founders of Solar Roadways, Scott and Julie Broussard, to get the latest on their company, learn about dynamic charging technology, and allow them to respond to criticism about their product. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by the co-founders of Solar Roadways, Scott and Julie Broussard. Scott, Julie, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
How you doing?
Hi.
So Scott, we had you on a few years ago, but I wanted to give our listeners a bit of an update. Where are things right now in the Solar Roadways world?
Well, right now we've got, I can't remember when we talked last, but we did an Indiegogo campaign in 2014. Raised enough money to buy manufacturing equipment and a building and everything we needed to start making panels. And we have our first public installation in Sandpoint, Idaho. We put that in earlier...
February,
so we got to test all the snowfall. It melted, kept the snow and ice off of it. And the town loves the lights. We had just had a Lost in the 50s weekend, and they had a street dance where all the kids were on top of the panels having a ball.
So how did the Indiegogo campaign go? How much did you raise and how long did it take?
We did a 60-day campaign. Our initial goal was $1 million and we wound up collecting $2.2 million. And we set a couple of Indiegogo records. One was we had over 48,000 donors from 165 different countries. It was pretty amazing. It was really humbling because we have a dashboard. We can see where all the donations come from. And they were coming from really strange places, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, all over Africa, and of course, all your mainstream nations.
Europe, Australia, really all over the world. And we did a perk where we did thank you videos out in the parking lot, 30-second thank you videos for a $100 donation. And we thought initially, you know, maybe we'll get 10 of those or something when we first started. And we did over 700, what was it?
780.
780.
took a year to shoot it.
Just to shoot all those videos. But it really brought home for us just all the places, because we'd be talking to somebody from Australia and then Sweden and then Africa and then Canada and then Kentucky and California. And it really was very amazing just seeing all the different places that the interest was coming from and then what the people wanted us to talk about, because they would sometimes tell us, Please talk about this.
And how much did you end up raising in the end?
Over $2.2 million, and we're still active on Indiegogo now. They asked us to be in the in-demand program, which is for people that have a need for perpetual funding, and that helps to keep us moving forward. So we're still there now.
So explain for our listeners who missed our original interview in 2014 what a solar roadway looks like and how it works.
All right. Well, basically, a solar road panel is a solar panel that you can drive on. We've had them load tested to 250,000 pounds. All of our R&D funding has come from the Federal Highway Administration. So we're undergoing the same tests that they do asphalt and concrete. So far, we've done load testing, traction testing, impact resistance testing. And this year at Marquette University Civil Engineering Labs, they're doing our freeze-thaw cycling, moisture conditioning, shear testing, and advanced loading. And the advanced loading is interesting. They're building a test track, and they're going to run a 9,000-pound truck tire back and forth 24/7. And they can simulate 15 years of truck abuse in 3 months. So we're looking forward to those results.
We were just there in Wisconsin getting set up with their professors that are working on it.
So back to what it is these are panels that are 4.39 square feet, weigh about 70 pounds, and they're solar panels. They contain heating elements to prevent snow and ice accumulation. They have LEDs so we can simulate road lines or verbiage or graphics, whatever we want to put on them.
And I was just going to say, in those LED lights for homeowners are really excited to use them for holiday decorating, their sports teams, and we're going to do roof panels as well. So we've had a huge outcry for matching roof panels because homeowners are saying, I want the same hexagons on my roof and have that one-touch holiday decorating.
So basically, you can take these solar road panels and you can make driveways or parking lots, sidewalks, roads, any hard, flat surface with these panels.
And that's kind of the strategy for your company right now, that while you'd love to ultimately see wide-scale adoption of your product someday, right now it sounds like you're focusing more on the smaller residential market. Is that fair to say?
Exactly. We're doing what we call non-critical applications first, so that you know, you don't want to do the fast lane of the highway and figure out where your bugs are. So with the driveway, if something were to go wrong, we're not stopping traffic. We can fix it, work the bugs out, and continue.
We've always planned that the highway would be our last application, but we've always known that all of these applications would be important, because if we're going to really make a difference and generate enough renewable energy to wean us off of our dependence on fossil fuels, we want parking lots, driveways, patios, walkways, and roads, residential roads and highways. And by doing such a large number of surfaces, the energy that you can generate becomes huge.
Since we last spoke, the solar industry has changed quite a bit. Prices have come down, and we see new products like solar shingles, where the panels are seamlessly integrated into a roof, and there are companies like Solar City out there with deep pockets. Are there any other companies or governments that you're aware of that have invested in solar roadway technology?
We were the original solar roadways, and after our Indiegogo campaign, I guess everybody saw what a good idea it was. So then Solar Road, they call themselves, made a bicycle path in the Netherlands. And now another company called Wattway is paving a road in France somewhere.
Honestly, we're so busy, we probably aren't keeping up on it very well. We don't really take time.
So how would somebody add solar panels to their driveway if they wanted to? Could they?
We can retrofit them over the top of existing driveways. We just cut raceways in whatever it is. If you've got concrete or asphalt, we can cut raceways in it for the cabling and retrofit it.
But we're not offering them yet. We've got to get to full production. Our focus right now is, we've got to raise the funds for full production, because right now we can only produce a few panels a day. So we're trying to get to full production so that we can begin accepting all the orders that are waiting for us.
And can you give us an idea of the orders that are actually waiting for you?
Oh, all 50 states, virtually every country in the world. My job has become just telling people no all day long, and it's very frustrating, and it's time to turn those no's into a yes. And so we're ready to now raise the funds. We've solved the engineering challenges that we needed to solve, and we're ready for full production and ready to go full steam ahead now.
So what are some of the challenges to rolling out this technology a little quicker in your estimation?
I think that's really it, isn't it? Just, we just need the funds to get proper equipment. Right now, we don't even have all of the equipment we need, and the equipment we do have is small prototyping equipment.
We've gotten the estimates on the type of machinery we need to crank these things out, and it's about $15 million worth of manufacturing equipment to be full scale.
And then that'll allow us to get costs down so that we can, you know, our goal is really to make it cost effective for the average homeowner to do their patio, their driveway, their walkways, their pool surrounds, and that type of thing.
Now, what about the critics of solar roadway technology? People who say the major expense with building standard roads isn't actually in the price of the materials, it's in the labor. You have a labor issue, but you also have more expensive materials than asphalt. What sort of scale do you think you'd need to attain to ultimately be able to start paving navigable roads?
When the critics first started attacking us, they said it could never be done. It wasn't even possible. Then as we started making it happen, they started going after other things, like you can't drive on glass, it has no traction. We actually put traction on it, had it traction tested to be the same as asphalt and concrete. So they dropped that one. Then it was something else. And now that we actually have installations, the last argument is price. And with mass production, that comes down drastically. When we did our first contract with the Federal Highway Administration, that was one of the questions they asked is, how long will it last and how cost competitive would it be with asphalt? And using 2010 pricing and no increasing on electricity, it would take 22 years for a panel to pay itself off.
Well, I'm going down that road feeling bad. I'm going down that road feeling bad. Well, I'm going down that road feeling bad, honey, babe. And I ain't gonna be treated this way. What I got gonna sure bring you back. What I got gonna sure bring you back. What I got gon' show bring you back, honey, babe. And I ain't gon' be treated this way.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Scott and Julie Brissaw. They're the co-founders of Solar Roadways. Here's a snippet from the Solar Roadways promo video that ignited the company's successful Indiegogo campaign.
I'm kind of broke, bruh.
Yeah, no kidding. The economy is in the toilet. Do you realize how many thousands of jobs this could create and sustain? Talk about a hypodermic adrenaline shot to the heart of the manufacturing and infrastructure sector. And it pays for itself. They're solar freaking roadways.
I have concerns about the future.
Is this thing even possible? I told you, yes. Solar roadway technology was invented by engineering couple Julie and Scott Brissaw in 2006. Two of the sweetest people in the world who met when...
Now back to our discussion with Scott and Julie Brissaw from Solar Roadways. So I've read also about the potential of noise being an issue. How do you plan on alleviating any noise problems that could be associated with driving across your glass solar panels?
We haven't done the sound testing yet. We were contacted by a civil engineering group north of St. Paul. They have a test track there and they want to put in 500 feet. They have truck drivers driving around this track 24/7, and we don't have the funds to do that yet. But once we get that, we can measure the sound and alter the traction to accommodate quieter rides.
If needed, we can create, in the end, different tractions for different surfaces. It just depends what the customer needs, but it won't be hard to create a variety of surfaces.
And how delicate will these solar roadways be? I mean, solar panels can be fairly delicate. What happens if someone decides to take a hammer to your solar roadway panels?
It was funny, when we first started installing the SR2s, we were putting tools down rather carefully, and by the end, everyone realized there was no need, and they were just tossing tools across it. And we had, once we had the panels all fall over like dominoes, someone knocked one over, they were set up on end and nothing happened. And our research has, well, you can talk about that.
We've never actually broken a panel. But when we first started, I went to a couple of materials research institutes or universities, and I was looking for some kind of transparent surface, and they both said use glass. And I gave them a funny look that I get when I do my talks. He said, well, you're thinking of window glass. Think of bulletproof glass and think of bomb-resistant glass. He said, they'll take anything an 18-wheeler can throw at them. And they pointed out that the way you make bulletproof glass is you take tempered glass and you laminate sheets of that together. And that's exactly what we have. Tempered glass laminated with the electronics in the middle.
And speaking of the electronics, what do you have planned for these LED lights that you want to embed in the solar panels?
Yeah, when we first started, we just had the idea of putting solar cells in some kind of protective case. But we live in North Idaho by the Canadian border. We get a lot of snow. And we had a couple of rooftop panels, and as soon as the snow starts, they get covered up and they don't produce anymore. So we added a heating element to prevent snow and ice accumulation. And then we realized you can't paint road lines on top of a solar panel without blocking the cells. So we added LEDs. And initially, it was just white and yellow LEDs to simulate road lines. But then we added red, green, and blue so we can get any color we need. And to drive the LEDs, you have to have a microprocessor. Well, once you put that microprocessor in there, that panel becomes a computer. And you can do a lot of things with it. For instance, they talk to each other wirelessly. I have sensors in there now. I can sit there with my laptop and go to installation and retrieve internal temperature sensor readings, light sensor readings. Basically, it's a computer.
So it's a smart road. It can become the smart grid that we're all waiting for. And basically the LEDs is the way that the intelligence of the panel is expressed. It's how it can communicate.
Our current SR3 panels have 336 LEDs. And you can, like for us, our lesson in the 50s weekend, we painted a electric guitar across the panels. We had an earth display. We can write verbiage. You can do a number of things with them other than just road lines.
And I assume if one of these electronic roadways came to life, you'd have to take some pretty extreme measures to keep out hackers who might want to screw around with road signs or something.
We've talked to cybersecurity experts, and we will have a team of them when the time comes. Right now, we're just doing the pedestrian surfaces, so it's not that critical. But before we got onto a road, we're going to have to.
So you spoke about how you're targeting residential markets initially. Are there any municipalities who've ordered or inquired about your technology? Will we be able to go to Boulder, Colorado someday soon and walk down a solar pathway? For those of us who won't be in Idaho anytime soon, where do you expect we'll be able to see this technology in action for ourselves in the not-so-distant future?
Yeah, in the beginning, we were hearing more from homeowners and business owners. Now I'm hearing from entire cities, from not just in our country, but all over. And speaking of Colorado, we just got back from Colorado. We just won a contest with the Colorado DOT, which is going to give us the funds to create a new supplement to solar roadways. And we're going to be doing a demonstration project there. But the new technology is called Color Roadie. And that's a way that we can protect bicyclists and pedestrians using our panels.
And pets.
And pets, too. So we're really excited about having the funds to proceed with that technology because it's something that's kind of been on the back burner for us.
So we'll be doing an installation in Denver sometime before December.
And were you planning on getting governmental contracts for your business, and have things changed with the new administration in place, which is obviously not as bullish on renewable energy technology?
So we've been blessed to have government funding all along, but we don't feel that pessimism. I mean, it's an infrastructure. Solar Roadways is an infrastructure project. Primarily, it's an infrastructure product that also, by the way, can produce renewable energy. And our understanding is President Trump is wanting to invest in infrastructure. So we're very hopeful that he will like the panels. People like it for different reasons. Our focus has been the environment, and we really are concerned about climate change and sustainability. But people come at it from their own angles and like it for different reasons.
Mm, baby. you like to hurt me. Further on up the road, someone gonna hurt you like you hurt me. Further on up the road, baby, just you wait and see. You're laughing pretty, baby. Someday you're gonna be crying.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Scott and Julie Brissaw. They're the co-founders of Solar Roadways. Here's another snippet from the Solar Roadways promotional video.
So quickly, in review,
love biking?
Solar Roadways.
Hate high energy bills?
Solar Roadways.
Love the movie Tron?
Solar Roadways.
Worried about the economy?
Solar Roadways.
Love sports?
Solar Roadways.
Scared of hitting moose?
Solar Roadways.
Hate gasoline prices?
Solar Roadways.
Love helping developing countries?
Solar Roadways.
Hate tar fumes?
Solar Roadways.
Love recycling?
Solar Roadways.
Hate winter driving?
Solar Roadways.
Hate shoveling snow?
Solar Roadways.
Love clean air?
Solar Roadways.
Need a job?
Solar Roadways.
Want to save this planet and make it sustainable for your kids and all future generations of life who can look back and say, hey, at least they invented solar freaking roadways.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, there are plenty of critics of solar roadway technology. In this clip from a National Geographic piece, Hervé Pabiot, a French solar energy researcher, discusses some of the hurdles this technology faces in becoming ubiquitous. Before we resume our discussion with the Brissaws, let's take a listen.
The concept of solar road tried to face two major problems of development of solar energy. The first problem is the lack of surface to produce enough energy. And the second problem is the problem of cost of the systems. And when you use a solar road, of course, you take advantage of a large surface of the existing road. So most of the work has been done, and you just have to integrate your component on a road. I can see two problems with solar roads. The first one comes from the heating of the solar panels, because when the temperature of the panels increases, the efficiency decreases and the aging process are accelerated. And the second one is that for the prediction of the solar energy production, you will have to integrate the traffic road modeling to be able to predict accurately the electricity production. Another interesting parameter to look at is the energy payback time, which is the time necessary to produce the same energy that has been used to produce the panels. So it's a real challenge for engineers.
Now back to our discussion with Scott and Julie Brissaw from Solar Roadways. So there's been a lot of interesting breakthroughs in the self-driving vehicle space as of late. What role do you see for solar roadways to play, if any, in the vehicles of tomorrow?
A couple of years ago, Google invited us out to their Mountain View headquarters and gave us a ride in their driverless car. If you ever get a chance to do that, go for it. It's really amazing. They put us in the back seat and they had two engineers in the front, and they actually drove us up to the 101 where they could hit autopilot. But while they were driving, I was quizzing them on how they were controlling the car. And they're doing it through what's something I'd read about called a CAN bus architecture, but I didn't realize you could brake, accelerate, and steer with that same architecture, and that's how they were doing it. And as soon as we got up on the 101, they pressed autopilot, and they both turned around to talk to us, which is a very unnerving feeling, but they were asking us, is it true that you've got a microprocessor every 2 feet in the road? And so we were thinking along the same lines. They're currently using GPS to control those cars. With what we have, when you put one of our panels down, it has a fixed altitude, longitude, and latitude, so it knows exactly where the vehicle is at all times. And in theory, since that panel can talk to the car, the road could actually drive your car. So if you get in your car and you say, take me to Walmart, the road can actually guide the car there and find your parking place.
So it's much more accurate than the current way that they're doing it. So we can facilitate autonomous vehicles. And also with dynamic charging of EVs, we're collaborating with a company out of Utah who wants to put their plates in our panels because we provide the delivery system, it would be...
They have the technology to transfer power from the road into the car. So if you think of a transmitter plate and a receiver plate, you mount the receiver under the car, and as you drive over the transmitter, it gives your battery a little charge. Well, currently, to make that work, I mean, they tested their technology, and it works at 75 miles an hour. But currently, that means going out and digging a hole in asphalt, putting their transmitter plate in there, getting power to it somehow, and not having it damaged as cars run over it. Ours, you would lay on top of the road, so it'd be much closer to the receiver plate, so you wouldn't have as much loss. And they recognize that they have the technology, but we have the delivery system. If they can put their coils in the shape of our hexagons, then we just start swapping them out however often they need. And another advantage that that has is people buy EVs thinking they're saving the environment, then they go home and realize I'm charging this thing on fossil fuels. With our road and the dynamic charging, we're actually charging them with sunshine.
And would people be able to do that while they're driving?
Yes, that's the dynamic charging. So what that does is if you can charge your vehicle, the biggest weight in an electric vehicle is the battery. That limits your range. So if you can cut that battery weight in half, you extend your range. And now if you're driving over a charging place to keep that battery charged, in theory, you can drive it forever.
Wow, that would be amazing. And would automobiles have to be adjusted to use this type of technology, or would the adaption be from your end?
I would imagine the company that does this would make, like, for instance, no matter what kind of car you drive, you can find a spark plug for it. Bad example for an EV, but a brake pad, let's say. And they make them all different sizes. So I imagine that the manufacturer of that receiver plate would make one for every model EV.
So just to clarify, would current electric vehicles have to be adjusted or not?
You'd have to be able to mount that receiver plate underneath.
I see. So it could just be an addition. It wouldn't have to be a complete redesign of the vehicle?
Correct.
Scott and Julie Broussard are the co-founders of Solar Roadways. Scott, Julie, thanks for being my guests on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sway the future to the past and find what will
endure. You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Harry Manx, Eric Bibb, and James Brown. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.